Good evening. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Closing Ceremonies for Hope. This is the 10th Hope, 20th year. It's been okay, huh? Before we get fully underway with the closing ceremonies, I was approached earlier by an elderly gentleman. He asked to say a few words.
Thank you. Like this first. Ladies and gentlemen, there it is. Turn on the projector, please. Yeah, there. Hello. Hello, Yonkers Retiree Club. My name is Dr. Gustav Beischel. I came from Europe in 1945 for personal reasons, and today I want to talk to you all about, especially very important here at the Yonkers Retiree Club, about understanding the hacker and its effect on society. Yeah. So let's go on. This is, by the way, thank you very much. This is my, the PowerPoint slideshow was prepared by my grandson, Dr. Matthew Beuschler, and he is a gastroenterologist in Hoboken. Yeah, so, good. Let's go on. My PowerPoint presentation. Introduction, content, and happy. So, a little bit about myself. I am a psychiatrist. Yeah. I'm a psychiatrist. I used to study social outcasts. The last thing I did was in the 1980s. I did research on live action role playing, and I took an arrow to the knee. So that's pretty much ended my career as a professional. Ever since I'm interested in things like 9/11 was an inside job and stuff like that. The connection of various things, I can hardly stand. I'm a God-fearing person. That's what I want to show with this slideshow here. Yeah? And I like entertainment. I'm very open to certain groups like black and stuff. Yeah. Okay. So, this is my grandson. Yeah. Today I'm here to talk about internet culture. Yeah. What do I mean with internet culture? So, for example, puppies. And Gozi, yeah, yeah. And of all things, hackers. I'm very interested in this strange subculture of hackers. And I want to present it to you, my dear friends here at the Retirees Club. So, let's go on. We are all as citizens of the United States of America, which I proudly am. I helped the space program and stuff. It's okay. We are all targets of mass surveillance. Yeah, mass surveillance is targeting us like NSA, the no such agency and stuff. And so, what I want to do today is address the problem of talking to hackers. Because I think we need to talk to hackers to get rid of this mass surveillance. Especially because I don't want that so many things of my past come out. Yeah. So, so we want to talk to hackers. But the main problem with hackers is they are targeting the huge data masses. They are targeting what they think is wrong, like surveillance and stuff like that. We have to convince them in a different direction. That's what I want to tell you today. It is actually a song. I do not have any instrument. I cannot play an instrument. I also couldn't find anyone to play an instrument for me. Except my other grandson who is in the basement. So let's try it. This is the song, okay? It's based on an old Viennese folk song. People, the world is a dismal place. They monitor every step. They're online and offline and in your face. The Freemasons are just a hip. On forwarding, forthright, and straightly, our facts to the Illuminati. They hide in the cookies as internet cash. Golly gosh, that is fresh. So. Yeah. I have 10 more. So. Chorus. When I see a surveillance device anywhere, I shatter it with my cane. And if they replace it because they are not aware, I'll shatter it with my cane. And if then at some point they grasp it, all these electronics are vast shit. We want the police back and guard and in charge. Nobody does it like Sarge. This is basically my message. We have to replace all security technology by police officers. You know? Because we can't trust humans. We cannot trust machines. You know, that's what I learned in the trash. There. You like Olive Garden's Alfredo sauce. Well, the NSA already knew. They collect all our data just there because with electric machines, yes, it's true. For the data retention principle, you need honest guys. It's that simple. The NSA is the new KGB. This doesn't sound funny to me. Let me summarize. Policemen need fresh air. They need to patrol, and they get out of the cathode ray tubes. No security, no cybernetics. We claim situational ethics. I'm looking for freedom, but not like the Hof. These cameras turn me off. I like that very much. It doesn't end. What have I created? Atari PC, PET 2000! These hackers are hacking with every brand! They want you to stand with your back in the wall. That's why we should shatter them all. Thank you. Thank you, my wife, my dog, Michel Foucault, and the Rotary Club in Sleepy Hollow. Bye-bye.
Well then. I'm told that discounted airfares to Austria are very popular these days, and Johannes is one of the saner people over there, so it's a very interesting place to go. Okay. Well, we did it. We're at the end, and this has been the most awesome one yet, right? We'll have more people speaking about particular things, but I just really I want to definitely recognize the efforts of AV in this particular conference. It has been phenomenal. Maya, Adam, all of you. I'm blown away. Just for what you guys accomplished yesterday, getting Edward Snowden, getting the connection going. We heard from people at South by Southwest who had done this that we did so much better as far as getting it to work, which is always good to hear. And, of course, there are so many efforts. People here to say a few words about various things that have gone on. One of the things I really want to recognize is the network itself, because the network is something unprecedented here. We had 50 megabit in 2012, and we weren't sure. A few weeks ago, you heard about the whole thing with the distributor. We're having all kinds of financial issues, and we weren't even sure we were going to be able to get the same net connectivity. We were thinking, you know, we're having conversations. It's not really about the network, right? People can come here and just watch the talks. That'll be fine, right? No one's going to complain. And yeah, well, you know. And just, you know, when things were at their darkest, Kyle here, who set up the network, decided that he was going to go out and get an even better network than we had before. And that's how we wound up with a network 200 times faster just when we thought we couldn't do it at all. And that's the hacker spirit, right? This is the guy to thank for this. This is Kyle, and he's got some people to thank.
Hi there. I could tell a lot of really amazing long stories. We were kind of up and down. I wanted to do this from the start, bring in our own line, and we've had a standing offer with Hurricane for a while, but we've never been able to make it happen. And it was getting really close. We had some problems getting permission with the hotel, and the management situation has been changing a lot here lately. Anyway, fast forward, the contracts, nothing was really happening. People weren't talking, and we weren't getting permission to do the microwave fast enough. And I got really frustrated with how long that was taking, because we had like a month to go. So I made an inquiry to the people at RCN, and then I reported back to my network team, which is freaking amazing. You're going to meet pretty much the core guys and a lot of them in a minute. And we'll discuss in detail exactly how that went down. So basically, in the last month, we got the right people together, and it was a really interesting coincidence of certain people getting involved and getting the right people talking. I'm really just interested. People have asked me, so what is your interest in leading the NOC? What is your interest in doing this? And I've said, well, I'm a hacker. I'm really interested in this stuff, and I'm not really doing this regularly, but I know enough about it, and I'm interested enough to think of an idea and push it forward. So that was really my goal, but I knew I needed a ton of help to do it. I'm not going to get into absolutely all the details of how those communications went and what it took, so because I think the guys are going to lay it out pretty clearly what we ended up with. But we eventually worked with RCN and got a patch, and then it was weeks of uncertainty about permission and exactly what the hotel would allow us to do. It took a long time, and I was really uncertain and frankly scared to death that I was going to disappoint. And well, we have a whole new core in the NOC, and it's a whole new team, and that itself was really odd because I was creating teams with people that I hadn't met and that probably hadn't met each other. So that additionally made it kind of really nerve-wracking. So without further ado, I'm just going to thank everybody I could think of in the last couple days when, in between doing other stuff, and then the rest of the story I think we're going to share with you during our presentation. So first off, I'd like to thank Emmanuel for believing in me and letting me kind of run with the ball and see what we could do. I'd also like to thank McFly. He couldn't be here, but he helped set up a lot of other connections. I'd also like to, people connections to get talking to the right people and get us moving. Winnie also helped a lot with the design. It's not necessarily network stuff, but he was very involved remotely from Germany. And on a related note, Niels from the CCC and the C3 NOC in general, they good. Friend of mine put out an inquiry over Twitter and stuff like that, and they actually talked about it and came up with, well, what they could do. And to that end, Attila, who you'll meet in a second, was able to communicate with me and sort out stuff with wireless and a lot of other core stuff that we put together. I'd also like to thank Draghorn, who is our previous NOC lead. He did a fantastic job doing a write-up of what he'd done in the past, and we were able to use that as a template and take the good from it and then improve on what we thought was feasible. Nick God helped a lot, and there's another whole batch of people from our group that I just didn't have time to add. I'd also like to thank Roach and Dragos and Jacob and a lot of his friends and some of the other guys that just showed up as volunteers. Also, the NOC pool, they helped us out a lot as far as coordinating another set of access points. We got half from Cisco, and then we got the other half from NOC pool. And Nick Farr helped out with that. He helped fund a little bit of the deposit for that. That was good. Also, I'd like to thank Fernando and the staff here at the hotel. They gave us a tip about there being dark fiber in the building, and that was here. That was installed here for a fucking Super Bowl party or press room or some stupid shit like that. And they don't even know what the fuck they have, and they don't even know the difference between single mode and multi-mode. But I really appreciate their help. Building on that, I'll mention Cisco again, RCN, Zach at Yellow Fiber Networks, Jim at NAC.net, and a lot of others. Also, our unnamed wireless provider for pissing me off and being sort of incompetent and being a good backup. Also, everyone who listened to me talk about network shit for a year, I'm sorry. I really wanted to get this right. So thank you very, very much for that. Emmanuel's definitely in that crew. All the volunteers who showed up and helped, especially Lindsay, she directed people to me based on their interests, and that helped me build out the team. Also, and lastly, every single one of you who attended and politely had your fun and otherwise misbehaved. So thank you. As I said, I could go on. We could talk about the future. We could talk about what we're going to do. But I'd really like to relish the moment and be, really thrilled at the precedent we've set, because, I think it can only improve from here. And I'm really honored to have been able to lead and have met a lot of new people that I think are going to stick around, especially, and including the providers. I'd also like to thank, DailyDot and Mandrill helped out financially too. Mandrill big time, because we eventually got the cost of patching it and connecting it paid for. So that's pretty cool, because it was essentially free. So those are all the people I could think of. I know there's a ton more people. I'm really, really sorry. I had a lot of shipping to do. We had a pallet stacked up in the warehouse. You know, it was a really busy time. You know, we had all the equipment coming in. It was really, the Amazon, we had all these packages. Shut up, Louis. So anyway, with that, I would like to introduce our current NOC team and do a really cool presentation on what the fuck actually happened.
Hi, everybody. So I first got to say the intro was fantastic, covered a lot of the bases. I'm going to go through really quick just some of the background of what exactly we did here, how we were able to pull off bringing 10 gig to you, and help you push more bandwidth. So our start, as Kyle was saying, we were asked, the CCC or C3 NOC a month prior to HOPE if they could assist with running the network this year. Attila and FICO reached out to myself 2 weeks prior to the conference to get help with the core and connectivity issues that they were facing. In less than 2 weeks, 7 business days to be exact, we managed to get 10 gigs of connectivity established to the Hotel Pennsylvania. Pretty cool. So I would definitely call that a miracle. I've never seen telcos work so fast. The coordination that took place in order for that to occur, we got 10 gig of transport connectivity from RCN to 111 8th Avenue, which is the Google data center, and Equinix. We got a cross connect between RCN and HE. We got 10 gig transit sponsored by Hurricane Electric. We had to get LOAs in from 2 different service providers in order to get the IP space that we needed to run the network. And we had to get an IPv6 allocation from Hurricane Electric. Special thanks to Reed at Hurricane and Peter at RCN for really pulling the strings to make the telcos move quick. This is quite possibly the most exciting piece. So this is our very own dark fiber. It's scalable up to 100 gig in the future, if you can use it.
I'm disappointed. You didn't use enough bandwidth.
So the hardware requirements to pull this off. Our core router and distribution were received last minute due to the sudden change of requirements and actually going to 10 gig. On such short notice. Literally, we received the last of the equipment the morning before the conference, thanks to Cisco and Yellow Fiber. Core router, distribution, and optics were provided by Yellow Fiber. The wireless controller, optics, and access points were provided by Cisco and NOCpool. In terms of our IP space, we got a /19 from RIPE through Falco Networks, and we got a /23 in the Aran region from Sliqua. We also got a 48 of V6 with some Easter eggs hidden in, if any of you picked up on it. So the hex to ASCII for our uplink interface to Hurricane says 2014 HOPE. And the actual allocation has 2600 in it as well. The network core, we had a Brocade XMR 4000 backbone router, which is capable of up to 960 gigabits, populated with 80 gig of optics ready for consumption. We turned up 5 of those 8 ports this weekend. The distribution switches on MES and 18 were connected at 10 gig. The distribution switch on 6 was unfortunately connected at 1 gig because we ran out of hardware.
Well, to be fair, we were supposed to have a 10 gig switch, and it was not.
Yes,
no,
that is
well,
true.
It was 10 gig, but we never write adapter.
Yeah. So this was during the Snowden talk. We had to put a fan directly next to the core. It got a little crazy. This was our distribution up on the 18th floor. So we had three switches up here. The buildup of the network, fiber service was completed on Wednesday night. Attila, FICO, myself all came out, and we tested with a light meter, which revolved some silliness because where it was delivered was like right in the middle of a ballroom, and they had an event going on the next day. So we literally had to hide the fiber up in the crown molding to go down the hallway.
Oh, God. That was horrible.
The rest of the network was actually completed in one night. So I have some pictures of, you know, the equipment that was involved with actually making this happen and, you know, how it came in. So a couple of pallets from 2600's warehouse.
That was Louie.
We had free Cat 5.
It's all gone.
Yep, all gone. And the core and distribution were actually delivered with Radio Statler on Wednesday. We needed a couple of bellhops to help us. I think it cost us like $50 just to get it to our hotel room for the night. So that was fun. That's actually our tag for the RCN circuit. It actually says Hope X on it. Pretty cool. This is fiber dangling from the from the DMARC. Yeah. Advertising the connectivity. Hooking up a light meter. You can kind of see the fiber over here. This is when we were initially running it down the hallway, and then we were advised that there was going to actually be an event the next day. So at the very top there, there's some crown molding. We had to move it further up and actually, like, tape it into there. So when it was all said and done, it looked like nothing was there. This is Attila picking up the WAPs from Cisco. This was actually the morning of setup. This is about half of the WAPs that we have. Attila with some much-needed coffee. We were up for around 24 hours at this point.
Coffee wasn't enough.
Yeah, coffee was not enough. We actually had to get some Club Mate as well. It was a rough night.
Thursday.
Need I say more?
I think there was ethanol involved as well.
Maybe some.
Cost is that we got the core network online, and we got 18.4 online 20 minutes before the conference started. And I was still there fucking punching cable.
So, obviously, you know, this is a very interesting hotel from a cabling perspective. The only patch panels happen to be on the mezzanine, and that cabinet is locked, so we had to have some lock pickers open it for us. So we were able to connect the lobby, mezzanine, third floor, sixth floor, and 18th floor.
That's never been done before. We've never had connectivity on our network on the sixth floor as well. So this is an expansion as far as where in the hotel we had service. So that's excellent.
So we ran, in order to make this happen, 850 meters of fiber, 7,000 feet of copper with another 7,000 to spare, and we had to rerun the connectivity from the mezzanine to the 18th floor 3 times. It was even approved by the Australian government. If you don't believe me, ask security. So just to put the amount of fiber in perspective, 850 meters of fiber is 2,788 feet. And just how tall is that? Unfortunately, last night at 3:08 a.m., the fiber from the mezzanine to 18th floor was cut maliciously. A handful of the NOC team spent 4 hours rerunning it. Unfortunately, it wasn't on spindles, so they literally had to just drag fiber down the... and it all got caught up. It took about 2 hours to untangle. So that was the third time that that cable was rerun.
I believe that's like a compound fracture.
Yep. Yeah, it looks like a key.
That or a gerbil ate it.
So in terms of wireless access points, we had 49 access points on site. 34 of them were deployed. We would have deployed more, but we were looking for hotspots, and you guys didn't use enough bandwidth. So, some interesting stats. 39.5% were on encrypted Wi-Fi. I don't know what to say to that.
Hello, Chris Kringle.
42% were on 2.4 gigahertz, which, according to Attila, is actually pretty good.
It's better than on the CCC. So if you have a device that doesn't support 5 gigahertz, try to buy one. It might work better on conferences.
We had 2,785 unique wireless clients. We had Chris Kringle actually attend HOPE this year, as did the quote-unquote government. Two users found themselves as awesome. And we found one fuck knock user, but we didn't catch that one in time. Breakdown by manufacturers on the wireless.
We cannot talk about what my usernames were.
Top 10 usernames. By the way, you could have used any username and password combination, so. Users on the network, we had 3,000 or so attendees, speakers, et cetera, 6,921 unique DHCP requests, so about two times the number of users. And the most traffic utilization occurred as a result of people actually using the network during the Snowden talk for streaming. And you can actually see that on the graphs, and you can see that it will continue. So we about doubled the amount of traffic we did post Snowden talk as a result of that. Our peak was 1.5 gig out of 10.
No one got dropped.
One thing is we really wanted a lot of resources. I'd spoken about wanting to expand and grow, and I knew the seriousness of a lot of what was going on would make it important to have resources, but the way we were doing streaming and the way we were, basically crowded and needing to have simulcast, we really wouldn't have been as successful as we were if we hadn't had the bandwidth we did, because a lot of that stream was coming from the internet. So it was really, really useful that we had this, and, well, you can see it there.
Actually, I want to give big props to Cisco, because they loaned all the access points we had that made it for everyone who was on wireless. They loaned us, 40 or 50 access points?
We just said it all.
Yeah, yep. We covered that.
So just to give you an idea of the power of the Knox staff and how many of us were watching the Snowden talk, making sure that stuff was continuing to operate. This is a small picture. Hurricane Electric engineers were on site during the live stream to ensure that nothing would interrupt it. Again, thanks to Reed and his crew. One of our last-minute knock projects was a bandwidth utilization meter. Which you might have seen in the mezzanine level. This is it when it was actually spiking and into the red. It's pretty cool. So it was designed to promote the Push More Bandwidth campaign that we were trying to put out there, if you didn't see it. It's created by Eat Berries and Mao. Yep, it was a blinky tape. It was actually tied into our network monitoring system. So some interesting use cases that we saw, mirroring of all of Slackware, port scanning the entire internet.
I'm still port scanning the entire net again. It's still going on.
So we actually had two different pieces of software scanning the internet from two different IP spaces, which was pretty cool because we actually had Netherlands IPs and we also had US IPs. And so they were actually split across the two. So it'd be interesting to see what the difference of the results is. Trace routing of unique paths to various endpoints on the internet, honeypots, and we actually had someone reach out to us on Twitter and ask if they could put a server in with a 10 gig uplink. We actually gave them a feed directly to the core. For the next knock, you can actually host servers with us.
You need 10 gig. You need it.
So some observations. At a security conference, attendees failed to realize that they're on public IP addresses and frequently asked us why. No NAT for you. It doesn't scale. Even with signs up to promote the Use More Bandwidth initiative, you failed to saturate the network. In fact, the peak usage was only 15% of the capacity. But Attila won his bet. Nick God from Radio Statler bet $50 that we wouldn't push more than 700 meg. We hit 1.5 gig.
Wait, we hit 1.75?
So in terms of abuse notifications...
To be fair, we only got one DMCA notice.
I was
only
amazed.
One.
Only one. I'm sure we'll get a flood of them tomorrow.
We only got one for the entire weekend.
The interesting thing about this notification, first, it's PGP signed. Good for them.
Wait, really? It was signed?
To the user that this was directed to, please follow the instructions here. Stop downloading or uploading without authorization. And please permanently delete from your computers the unauthorized copies of Spider-Man 2.
I'm sorry. Does unauthorized computers mean what we're seeing?
So they were even nice enough to include an XML version of the DMCA in case we wanted to speed up the process of, you know, handling it for them. And your IP address, user that downloaded Spider-Man 2, is 199.58.206.163. So if you could just follow up with them, that would be fantastic. An extra special shout out to the rest of the Hope Knock team. You can follow us on Twitter at Hope Knock. And also to the C3 Knock, Niels and AK-47. They actually saved us the morning of the conference after myself and Attila had been configuring for over 30 hours. We actually ended up getting to sleep, I don't know, maybe around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And they were willing to assist us from across the pond. That was fantastic. And it definitely wouldn't have been possible without the sponsors listed here. We really appreciate everything that they did, especially so last minute. What we still need, we need help tearing down the network. Please meet us in the NOC after this talk. What we look forward to next, we want users to expect decent bandwidth at these conferences. We want you to show up with your servers and wired connections to connect to the network and push more bandwidth. Thank you.
Wait, we only push 1.5 gig over a 10 gig connection. We want you to max out it.
We're done. We can go now.
You got no, hey, no. Hey, the NOC's still open. We still have 1 gig drops. Come there, get some internet.
There will be no dying just before con ends. All right, guys, sorry, just give me 1 second to get hooked up. And my name's Tech Darko. I run Radio Statler along with a couple other people. This year I wound up helping out with running the Snowden talk from a technical aspect, and along with the AV guys who, again, did an absolutely incredible job with it. So let's just give them a quick round of applause for the amazing work they did. Mm-hmm. And I also was helping coordinate streaming, which I'll get to in just a minute. No, I don't need sound. Although, LibreOffice would, there we go. Okay, so, yeah, hold on. I think it's my opinion. All right, so, this year, remote speakers. Hope this year had one of the, currently one of the most prominent people in the field of hacktivism and everything, Edward Snowden. And because, obviously, he can't step foot back in the country, we had to do him remotely. He had done South by Southwest, but there had been a lot of, well, issues. So we wanted to make sure that for our event, when we had two people who were absolutely incredible in this area and in this field, everything would go without a hitch. And thankfully, as we all know, it did. That said, it was not that easy. There was a significant amount of planning. Step one was to not use 7 proxies. You can boo me all you want, but we also went through and we were planning because, as we all know, you know, things go wrong. And sometimes it's not a bad thing, but when we have the keynote speaker and a conversation with someone who is going to get watched from around the world, we don't want stuff to just not work. So we had multiple things. We actually had several fallbacks involving calling him in Russia and having a phone, using the phone line back there. It's also used for social engineering. We had another fallback which involved having someone sit up on stage with a laptop and type messages back and forth with him, have someone read them, and then type what was ever being said by Ellsberg. And the absolute last fallback was that we would, by any means necessary, use anything from text messaging to secure messaging to whatever we could make work at the last minute. So we actually wound up using Google Hangouts to do the entire thing. Yay, Google. Although, anybody from Google in the audience, particularly anybody that works with Google Hangouts, if you could make it so I can mute things like chat messages that happen in the background, I'm assuming a lot of you heard that little ba-da-dun during the chat. We had to send him a message, and yeah, so we could do something like that, and also if we could make it so we can permanently hide the friggin' icons, because anytime we'd move the mouse, they would come up on screen. We used Google Hangouts to chat with him, and we connected a little early, and it was actually pretty amazing how well it worked. This time, we had a bunch of people who were here who watched the talk at South by Southwest or were there at South by Southwest, and one of the complaints that we had heard was that when last time he did a remote session, it was less a video and more, I'm going to quote actually Mitch here, a series of still images stuttering together. This time we were able to pull it off without a hitch, and with our first plan actually worked, and there's a couple of people in particular that need to be thanked for that. Emmanuel for working to set it all up, Kyle, Greg Newby for making sure and coordinating everything before the conference, our AV folks who managed to, I will say we had a whole bunch of stuff wired together, so our AV folks were actually hooking everything up at the last minute and making sure everything worked, which was a little interesting. We actually had three MacBook Pros running back there, so it looks a little bit like an Apple store, but it worked, so I can't complain. The way we were pulling it was actually the same way we're doing it right now. We pulled from the display port, used VGA. We also learned another little interesting about Google Hangouts for the Google people here. Can you please make it so that when I plug in a USB sound device, it can send and receive audio to it at the same time? We discovered the hard way that Google Hangouts does not like that. So we had to use two USB audio devices, professional USB audio interfaces, to send and receive audio. The Snowden talk was important for us, and we knew that there were a lot of people who weren't here that wanted to watch it. As such, we did remote streaming this time, and I'm going to talk a little bit about how we did, and now I'm going to bring up the folks from Internet Society who handled the entire thing for us this time. Sorry, I was doing some stuff last minute. So, this map. Hold on, sorry. Friggin'.
Nope.
Anyone remember on Fedora how to make it switch over to mirror your display? It's not working.
Table's not gonna
come. Huh? Seriously, anybody know? I apologize. This is actually the first presentation I'm doing with this, so it's my fault for not really preparing in advance. Ah! There we go. So, this map here is where we were streaming to. Any country that is not in white was watching the HOPE conference remotely. We were actually trying to see if there was somebody who knew someone who worked in Antarctica. We were trying to see if we'd get all seven continents, but unfortunately, we weren't able to reach them. That said, we were six countries, just about six countries from getting all of Asia, Middle East, and Oceania. We had people watching in every country in Europe. We had people watching in every country in North America, from the majority of South America, and from parts of Africa. All of the six major continents were watching this talk and were watching this conference. These are our analytics just from the embedded web players. Just from the embedded web players, and we know for a fact that a lot of people were also watching the live stream, and we also know that there were several organizations mirroring our stream that other people were watching. Just on the embedded web page, we had over 15,000 unique viewers. If you combine that with the another 1,100 from Radio Statler listening to the audio-only feed to the viewers on the live stream, that alone brings us to significantly over 20,000 people watching this conference. We had people watching from over 140 countries. This is significantly more than most other conferences can ever claim. So, thankfully, it was for HOPE 10. I'm going to take 1 second and bring up the Internet Society. I want to thank Julian McPhee and Paul Breaker for their incredible hard work. We had some issues with communication, so the streaming actually got agreed to and the serious planning started on Tuesday. Thankfully, these guys were able to pull everything together and do such an incredible job. We had HD feeds from every room out to the entire world. We had, and everything is worked wonderfully. So if I can just get Paul to come up for a second and say a few words about the Internet Society, who sponsored the whole thing for us.
Thanks, Darko. Thank you. So one of the key reasons I'm here is to make sure you know about the Internet Society. This is Jolly McPhee. He's a member of the New York chapter of the Internet Society. I represent the Internet Society Global Organization. But if you don't know about them, we were set up 22 years ago by a couple of hackers named Bob Kahn and Bent Cerf, who did something to really special. They created the Internet. So we were set up by them to continue to make the Internet better. We do many things to make the Internet better around the world. We're a global organization of 65,000 members. We want you to be members. We want you to join a chapter. And we were so thrilled to bring this content to all of our members, but to the Internet at large. We hope to be here in 2 years to do it again. This is great stuff. So I think the introduction is made. You know, Internet Society, we know you. We want to keep this relationship close, and thank you for the opportunity to allow us to do it. I also want to say the live stream platform served us very well. I have to give some props to them. We used, for the technical issues, the technical infrastructure, I should say, we used the HD500 streamer, broadcast streamers from Livestream. It was great stuff, so good stuff. Thank you.
I just want to say that the slogan or the motto of the Internet Society is that the Internet is for everybody, and I'd like especially to thank the HOPE NOC for bringing the Internet to us as well as everybody else.
Speaking of live stream, one thing to note is that the Hope Conference was one of the top watched live stream for the entire weekend, and we were the number one featured stream throughout the start of the conference until now. So that's pretty impressive. For the first time, we're doing real streaming. Sorry, I should have prepared better. I'm kind of, you know, an asshole for that. So Radio Statler also is a project I run, and it's a streaming audio station that runs out of the mezzanine throughout the duration of the conference. There we streamed a couple of talks this time. We do interviews with speakers, including we were the only organization, I believe, to have Daniel Ellsberg come talk to us after, and he told all the press, I think, to go shove. Yes, thank you. We also had Drake and many, many others of the speakers, people who were here from organizations, Hackerspaces, EFF ACLU, and our goal is to bring the con to people who can't make it and to improve what they get from remote. As part of that, there's a few people I just really want to thank because I got bumped to core staff this year and had a crap ton of stuff to do, so I really want to thank the three guys who really picked everything up for me at Radio Statler, which is Stape, who takes care of all of our web dev, Nick God, who takes care of all of our engineering, and Beaches, who takes care of all of our program and direction and everything. And so just give those three guys a round of a hand. They pull off an amazing job. As part of that, this year, Radio Statler broke, we had a total number of listeners of 1,057. We had 1,000. Granted, that sounds pretty insignificant compared to the 20-plus thousand people watching the streams, but for something that was pretty much unique content, not people coming to watch a Snowden talk, we pulled off a pretty amazing thing this time. So, and we will be back next time to do even more. As part of that, we got some free shirts we want to give out, so Bunny's going to come up and throw stuff at you. Oh, and Johnny Xmas. So a few of the things we just want to talk about with Statler. Johnny Xmas and Bunny actually used to be our program director and has decided to start enjoying the conference again, which if any of you have ever volunteered at a conference, you'll understand. Johnny and his girlfriend Babs also stepped up and really helped us out and helped out with Twitter and our outreach. And we also want to thank Aesthetics and Naomi and Andy with the press group for helping us make sure that we were able to get access to the speakers and that the speakers were advised that we were there. Thank you guys for everything. I mean, we did the conference did some amazing stuff this year, and hopefully in 2 years, we're going to blow all those records right out of the water.
Like breaking glass backstage. Thanks for coming. We did some new things this year that we hadn't done before, which is like a whole series of movies, which turned out to be really successful. Some people were out here till like 3 o'clock last night watching Algorithm, a new thriller film, which is online available for free. I want to thank a few movie directors who came and showed us some, brought their films, traveled across the country from California. Jonathan Schieffer of Algorithm, Brian Knoppenberger for The Internet's Own Boy, The Story of Aaron Schwartz, very compelling film. Robert Greenwald, no relation to a journalist by same last name, who introduced War on Whistleblowers, Johannes with his film I can't pronounce the name of, the Investigation Discovery Channel, who screened the world premiere of Nowhere to Hide, starring our biennial speaker, Steve Rombaum. So that was all entertaining. Did you enjoy the movie series? Should we do that again? All right. Maybe we'll do even more next time. On the radio front, there's Radio Statler, but we actually had an actual radio station here with antennas transmitting around the world. The FCC gave us a special call sign, W2H, Special Event Station for HOPE-X, and contacted 9 or 10 countries using low power, about 10-20 watts, including Russia, Panama, Italy, France, Cuba, Germany, Sweden, Spain, and a whole bunch of states. This was great. They're going to get a special QSL card from the W2H station here at HopeX. And communications, it's all about. They know. Oh, and one final story. Lindsay's going to mention the ham radio exams, but I ran into an engineer while we were putting the antennas up on the roof of the station. An engineer for the he's part of the maintenance crew here at the hotel. His name is Kubak. He's from Poland. He has an electrical engineering background, but he does hotel maintenance. He said, "What are you doing?" I told him what we were doing, and I talked him into coming to the ham radio exams. He took it. He passed. We have a new amateur radio licensee. And Lindsay's going to talk about the success of that project. Thank you for coming.
So one of these years, I'm going to talk Bernie S. into upgrading his license. All right, so we had 36 people take exams. 27 people passed. To break those down, that's 17 technicians, one of which was on our AV staff that I know of, Doug. I don't know if anyone else among my volunteers. So there were 6 generals and 4 extras, one of which was me. So normally I'm giving exams, and finally I sat down and took one, and I passed it. All right, so on the volunteers, everyone's been so great. Like I've met so many great people this year, and have had great support from everyone, even when like stupid shit happens, which is like always. And people step in and take over, and I've been able to sleep and eat, and it's great. And thank you. Yeah, I know, right? So I especially want to thank Night Owl, who has really stepped up. That kid, just wow. JP here in the front, I see him. He saved us on a few things when, like I said, shit breaks. I thank everyone by name, but that would be crazy, and I don't remember anyone's name. I'm so sorry. I love you. Thank you to the people who helped me with that door that broke. Ask me about that when I'm not being recorded. It's a good story. Thanks to my not volunteer, not Kevin. He and Johnny Christmas gave me a lot of moral support at the Club Mate stand, which I could not have survived without them. Oh, and Sidewalk Chalk. That helped. That helped a lot. Sorry. We found Sidewalk Chalk. All right, so I want to thank John Harlicker, who's done all the cleaning on the mezzanine level. He's amazing. You've probably seen him around. He's been keeping this place from being a disaster. And then I have some people to thank from AV because they're busy taking things apart. So all of the students from City Tech have been great. They made this thing look amazing and sound amazing. And it really came together thanks to them. Erin, who led them, Erin Graby. She was our production manager. We had Nick Harper as our master electrician, Jason Myers on sound, and some special thanks to Andrew, who took over video, and Chris Beauvois, who went out at like 2 a.m. to buy shit so the Snowden thing could come together.
Thank you so much.
And a message from AV as well as me. The best way to thank us is to help us strike. So.
Booze flow very freely and they will be happy.
I don't think so. so as soon as this ends, this room, the other rooms are already being taken apart. This room's got to be taken apart. You know, all the lights and everything. And so we need help with that. As many people as possible. Makes it go faster for everybody. And on the second floor, I have no idea what's going on down there. It could be on fire. So
we took care of that. It's all right now.
It's good?
Yeah.
The fire's gone? Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Most of it's gone.
We think the mezzanine is still there. So if assuming that we have to take that stuff down as well. I have some minor swag for people who help. Hint, bribe, please. I promise not to get anyone trapped in any rooms with broken doors if you help me. If you don't help me, no promises. So, and that's all I have to say. Please help us take the conference apart. Love, Lindsay.
I think Lindsay deserves more applause than that. She made this whole... Most everything we do here is impossible. I just want you guys to know that. I mean, having a conference in the middle of Midtown Manhattan with a bunch of computer hackers, and this is a $500,000 show as far as I'm concerned, as far as the effort put into it and the professionalism. It's simply incredible, and we do it with volunteer effort, and that's what makes it possible, because there's no way – that's why you don't see conferences like this very often. And I want to thank you, the attendees, because we had a pretty scary situation because, well, when you have Edward Snowden appearing, lots and lots of people want to see that at the same time. And, of course, you know, it was on a video screen, so it didn't really matter where you were watching it. It's going to look the same. And we just had to ask people to be patient, and we were dealing with fire marshals and building inspectors and things like that. Could have gone very badly if people weren't cooperative or were overcrowding and things like that, and people were just great. I've seen this before at our conferences. I've seen people behave really maturely, and that's what makes it possible to do these things. So thank you to you guys for doing that. We also have one of the best security staffs in the world as far as keeping things safe, keeping things professional. I'd like Brody to say a couple of words about the team that he led.
I'll talk about that box in a minute. Yes, folks, that is the box of shame. The items that you have managed to somehow leave somewhere or in somebody else's possession, and yes, if it has a name on it, guess what? I'm going to read it. Now, I've been doing this, you know, doing security here for a long, long time. I think one of my friends said a couple nights ago that if our friendship were kids, they'd be legal to drink right now. Now, I have a right-hand man who has been through thick and thin, has been here. I got hit by a car, I think, before which Hope?
06.
And wasn't able to make it here, and he still carried on. We planned for it. I just couldn't make it here. I was stuck in a hospital bed. But anyway, it's my friend Kush. Come on up. Now, I will tell you this. We've had to deal with all kinds of craziness in this hotel. We've had to deal with the
hookers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Rule number one. Well, rule number two. Yeah. Rule number two. No hookers. And that was because of a couple of cons ago. And somebody decided to save a couple off the street. And it's a long story. I will tell you this.
No,
conference.
No, she was about 12.
Yeah. Oh. So. Back to the talk about security. We had this conference, we had probably one of the more challenging deals with absolutely new staff here in the hotel. Go figure. Every couple of years, we have to deal with new people who haven't dealt with us before, which they see a hackers conference and then just go, ooh. We had two building inspectors, the fire marshal. We had to rearrange everything on the floor. They came down there and they said, no, this is not like it is on these paperwork. And this paperwork was from, I think, three revisions ago, and everybody else panicked. So we got everything set up, taken down, moved, and they signed off on it. And then they said the fire marshal will be coming by, and we lived in fear of that for the whole weekend because thank you, New York City, for changing the fire code and requiring us to have even more staff brought in at the last minute. Does anybody know who the staff, the company we got, Tiger, was it?
I believe it was Tiger Security.
I think it's Tiger Security supplied us with the fire watch folks that kept us in check and okay with the fire marshal.
At 10 o'clock at night,
yeah,
Thursday night, they provided.
Yep. They were called in at last minute, and I mean, they came in, they delivered. They were there the next morning. I mean, I maybe had 4 hours of sleep. So with that said, I would like to applaud every one of the people in the red shirts. And if you're in a red shirt, get out of your seat. Stand up. I would also like to thank Not Kevin for being an integral part of the security team and walking up to me and asking me if I'm okay half a dozen times. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm still okay. So by the end of it, I just kept looking at him, and I was going, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. By the end of it, I'm looking at him and going, you okay? And you go, no. So with that all said, thank you all. It was an incredible conference. Actually, with the Snowden talk, normally when this place is packed to the hilt, we have people who are nasty, belligerent, crazy, and don't want to get out of aisles. I would like to thank our team who put down the red tape that you see out there to outline the fire aisle. So now
you
know. Thank you, Melissa. It was epic until I tried to clear a lane that I thought was an aisle, but wasn't an aisle. I know. They looked at me and they were going, yeah. I would like to thank Warlord for telling me, yeah, Mike, that's not an aisle. So anyways, with all that said and done, it is time for the Box of Shame. If you own one of the items in the Box of Shame, we expect to see you downstairs at the security desk with your head down. In reverence to the people that found your items and brought them to security, and some of the things that we had that were brought to us, a wallet. What was it, $100+ in the wallet and everything?
About $100 and a quarter.
$100 and a quarter.
Plus credit cards.
Plus credit cards. You should have seen his face when he came by and he went, oh my gosh, you guys got this? And he's looking inside and there's money in it still. And I'm going, you will find out in a second. First of all, somebody was obviously really cold. It's a really nice jacket. It just doesn't fit me. And I live in Florida and these things don't exist. Numerous water containers. Who the hell leaves this somewhere? I'm telling you, I'm putting this up on an FTP site. If you do not claim it, these pictures could be really cool or really embarrassing, your choice.
They're really embarrassing, I looked.
Okay. Somebody think this is funny in leaving this in the lost and found? A Oh yeah, if you do show up, our tip jar is a little lacking. We could use those. Now for the really embarrassing stuff. Oh, hold on. Anybody lose a Fitbit? Hey, you got a Fitbit. There you go. Well, it has lived for another day. Let's see. Let me see if I can figure this one out. Let's see. Can you read that? I don't have my glasses on.
Four.
No. Anybody here named Louise Blanche? Really? You can't even attend the closing ceremonies noting your stuff is somewhere in the lost and found? I think we'll mail this to her with a really objectionate note. We'll probably need more tips for that, so make sure that you come down. Okay, there seems to be some argument about the credit card that was left here, but either way, it's downstairs. If you lost one, come down there, and yes, you'll have to show ID. Good gosh. Now, after this meeting, or after the ceremony is done, we need to tear down this place. We need to definitely take all this stuff out. We need to make this place look like we were never here. That's kind of hard. This place has been here since 1919. To make it interesting on the second floor, I don't know how it happened, but there was some kind of security mess up, and when everybody was loading stuff in, and I don't know, somebody's trying to load in a whole distillery on a luggage cart, and security found it. Yeah, we could stock 6 liquor stores with what we found. Anyway, thanks to everybody not participating in yesterday's unannounced security drink-in downstairs, there's still a lot of alcohol left. Nothing motivates people to do work more like alcohol. I don't want to carry this home. You can carry it home. So come downstairs, clean up, work up here, clean up. Talk to us later, because we ain't serving any alcohol, period, because we don't know anything about that stuff. But there will be miscellaneous stuff left over when everything's cleaned up. So thank you all. Thank you for having us, and we love you guys showing up every conference. Oh, last but not least, but I have one of these shirts left over. I don't know where they came from. Anybody want one? No fighting. Have a great day.
Hey, did you guys thank Big Frank? Did you thank him? He's watching on live stream. He had to go home, but Big Frank saves our asses so many times.
Okay, everybody. Thank you, Big Frank. Let's hear it.
Thank you, Big Frank.
Frank, I am so sorry. I messed this totally up like I do every year and forget something.
Okay, we want to wrap this up. But a couple of more things we have to cover. First of all of you, at some point or another, registered for the conference. And if you did that, you registered through Mark's program and maybe even saw him at the registration desk. But I can say a couple of words about what it was all about, how we put it together, and any other features. Mark.
So I'll make this brief. It was an unprecedented year for registration. We had over 2,000 pre-registered attendees this year, as well as the hundreds of people who came and bought tickets at the door. I've been told that back in 1994, it could take 15 minutes to check somebody into the conference. And at our peak on Friday morning, we were doing on average one check-in every 10 seconds. So I hope that made it easy for you guys to get in and get where you wanted to go. We also took Bitcoin this year for the first time, so for the pre-registration, so a lot of you took advantage of that. That was really interesting to deal with. I would like to just thank the core registration folks who helped out. There was Junts, Mike, Mark, Regina, and Ben. Thank you so much. The dedicated volunteers who unpacked thousands of trip glasses that we could hand out to all of you and broke down all those boxes. Thank you so much. Thank you to everyone that kept us company at the registration desk and hung out with us, made our lives more interesting and enjoyable. And thanks to all of you for really making it easy for us. We really didn't have any problems. Everything went really smoothly, and I hope you guys had a great conference. So thank you.
Okay, amazing. One more thing that we need to do. Also, I want to thank, by the way, I don't know how many of you visited the vendors downstairs. We had the most awesome vendor setup, I think, ever at a HOPE conference. And that was all due to the efforts of Bernie S., Greg Newby, Mark Silverberg, who interfaced with so many different cool people. So thank you very much to them. A little ceremony that we want to engage in right now, that's that computer over there that you've all been admiring, that is our Z100, our Heathkit Zenith Z100 that we purchased back in 1984. And that was the 2600 main machine. That was we entered subscriptions on that. We didn't do any hacking from there. We just basically did all kinds of legal things on that machine. When we first got it, it had two floppy disks, 2 5 1/4 inch floppy disks, and then we replaced one of them with a 40 meg hard drive, which was huge back then. Kyle, could you show the folks? It's very heavy, so you need somebody strong who can pick it up. On the side, you see there's a nice Bell System sticker that we got. And on the back are all these, it's got a great keyboard, too. On the back, all these S100 slots that we never used. It was a really cool computer. It's loud. It sounds like an airplane landing when you turn it on. Unfortunately, you can't really turn it on now. We made the mistake of leaving it in a garage for a few years. And, it's interesting because you know how computers have mice. This computer had a real mouse that decided to live inside it and chewed up all kinds of things. We were talking about this on the radio a few months ago, talking about how we'd love to restore this machine, get it working again, maybe find out what's on the hard drive. We got a call from our friends over at March. That's the Mid-Atlantic Retro Computer Hobbyists. I think I got it right. And these awesome guys, are going to take this computer and restore it for us. And isn't that... And we have somebody from March right here who's going to say a couple of words about the organization. And then I'd like for people to treat the machine with some respect. We're going to have a procession down the aisle. If you could just – it's given so much service. So you know, polite applause would be appropriate, I think. And then we'll conclude everything after that. Come on up.
Hey, everyone. I didn't know I was giving a talk until a little while ago. So I'm Evan. This is Jeff, Schreeder, Ian, Mouse, and we're a few of the members of March. We 10-year-old user group. Thanks to everyone who came to our Apple timeline downstairs. Quick little non-commercial plug. We have a computer museum, a bricks and mortar museum in Central Jersey on the shore, midatlanticretro.org, where we do everything from 80s 8-bit micros to 70s S100 computers like this, to 60s and 70s mini computers when mini meant smaller than a mainframe, and we're even starting to build a collection of 50s and 60s mainframes. So what we do is we restore this stuff, make it work again just for fun, and HOPE has done so much for us over the years, we're happy to give back what we can. And so for the next HOPE, we'll bring it back running. And if I could just take one more minute, Emmanuel. Ian, if you could talk for a few seconds about what's involved to restore something like this, maybe, just quickly.
Gee, is this thing on? The microphone? Oh. See, put me on the spot here.
Improvise.
Sorry, I'm... the beauty of a machine like this is that it can be repaired. It's dirty. It's obviously got some mice living in it, or had at one point in time. As you can tell, I'm not used to public speaking. I'm used to fixing things. These old machines are really wonderful to work on. It might look bad now, but it can be repaired. It can be dismantled and cleaned. Damaged wiring repaired. Damaged components replaced. Uninstall that unintentional mouse upgrade. and it can be made to run again. And hopefully I can get the hard drive to run again too, as well. We'll definitely have it running for you at the next hope.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay, if we can just clear a path for the exiting of the Z100. It's just... No, this is emotional, okay? This machine has been, it's 30 years old, like the magazine. And hopefully next hope it'll... Yeah, okay. All right. People throwing flowers on it? That's awesome. How do they even know? Very cool. Thank you. Thank you for the respect for old machinery. All right, folks, there's so many more people, but come on up to the stage, and if you want to say anything, but we gotta exit the building at some point, and there's just so many other people that I want to appreciate for all the things they've done. So just all come on up and stop at the mic if you want to.
Now or
after? Does anyone want to say anything, and then we'll...
All right. I can go. This one's live. There we go. It's also live.
I think we have to do something climactic now, but otherwise it would be just sad.
We're here putting on this conference for one good reason. We all want you to share the knowledge. We want to share the knowledge that we've got with you. That's why we're here. Thank you.
I probably have more written down to say than I actually should, but I will just say I worked on concerts, on the art. I was in charge of the concerts, the gallery art, and I was on the speaker committee, and I was doing user testing for work, for which thank you to Katie, Courtney, Catherine, and Amy. Hopefully thanks to a handful of people at Hope. We will now have a few more secure voice applications that work better. So thank you very much for your contribution to that. So the art, thank you for David, Tamara, and Kevin on the art committee. The concert, Will, Don, Tamara, and Josh, and the other artists who are probably not in the audience right now. Thank you to Radio Wonderland for playing twice. Who caught that last night or the night before? Go back and find that on Radio Statler. Josh Fried was sampling live from radio while he was playing, and it was absolutely magical. I've never seen anything like it. I have to thank the AV team. The AV team is the lifeblood of this conference. They're not here enough capacity, but they should be thanked utterly. I want to specifically thank Chaos and Lindsay for the drinking game thread. Someday maybe we'll have a drinking game official for Hope that we can send out to you. The AV team stuff seems to be thankless work to me, and I thought there was sort of a song that we might sing that I think a lot of us sort of feel in the worst moments of working here that goes, "Why do we always come here? I guess we'll never know." Come on, we sing it with me. "I guess we'll never know. kind of torture to have to watch the show. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, not enough Muppets fans out there? Come on, people. Come on. Jim Henson was our kind of nerd. So, once again, thank you to Lucy. Big Frank was out in his pajamas. He's like, he comes by the concert. He's like, what time are you finishing? And he doesn't talk to me. What time are you finishing? I'm like, 3:30. He's like, 3:45. I'm like, and he doesn't care. And he's in his pajamas, and I love him. One thing that didn't happen that I really wanted to see happen, childcare. There were so many babies here. It was great. People brought their kids, right? And we didn't get it to happen this time, but we clearly have more and more people bringing their kids, which is great. I know Mitch loves to have young people to teach as well. So if you're a parent and you're interested in doing that next time, please join us. One other thing that I wanted to say, we had a code of conduct for the first time. I was the one who sort of spearheaded that happening. Thank you. Although I think Greg, I want to say Greg drafted most of that. Did you draft most of the code of conduct, or was that aesthetics? We all worked on it together, and we got some really good feedback from people saying, you know, it's nice and broad. Like, if Adrian Lamo showed up, we would be obliged to protect him and keep him from being harassed, not because of race, class, gender, or anything like that, just because there's people who are gunning for Adrian Lamo, and you can't harass anybody at Hope. Unfortunately, we had some reports, you know, saying, hey, code of conduct, this was a violation. It's unfortunate to have the reports. It's fortunate to know everybody's paying attention, and that's great. And so that was good. So thank you all for acting within things. If you feel like things did not go as well as they should in according to the code of conduct, we're still here to hear from you, and we'd like to hear. Come back next time. Help us out. We'll make childcare into a thing and concerts into a thing. Thank you all for staying until 3 yesterday and dancing. I don't know who you were, but you were drunk. yeah, I had my first rotation of dancers who I know, and they're always there, and then the second rotation of like, woo! So thank you all very much for your support of the art and the music especially.
Please help me take the conference apart. Thank you.
This has been a great experience for me working this deep in here. This is my 8th Hope. It's the first one that I've worked as part of the core team. It's been so surreal working this. It's been an amazing year helping set this up from that first disturbingly hot day at OHM last year. And I'm so happy to see so many people that were at OHM come here when we were trying to get people from over there. And I'm trying to see as many people from other countries here. I've run across people from all over Europe. I've seen a lot of people from Australia. I've seen people from Brazil here, and that's great. I remember H2K when we had such a huge presence of people from all over the world here. Seeing people that have seen this conference from overseas for the various talks, particularly for Snowden, that really was exciting. Hopefully, some of the people that have seen this will come to see us next time in person, because while you can see parts of it, you know what? There's nothing quite like being here. We're building, at least for now, an ephemeral community. After this, we all go to wherever we go to whenever Hope Time isn't here. Just like, you know, I've had a lot of people say this is sort of like, for example, Burning Man, where, you know, and I've had a lot of people say this has that similar vibe to that experience. I don't know. I've never been there. But you know what? We're all together in this community for now, and I'm really happy that I've been part of this for 14 years. And I hope people that are here have that same sort of joy about being a part of it too.
Good evening. Thank you to Mom, Dad, my aunt, and uncle right in the front row there. I'm Rob T. Firefly, and in addition to core staff, I worked on art and signage for this conference, and I have a number of people I want to thank. And maybe they're on this thing. Thank you. Well, first of all, you may have noticed the HopeX signs, which evoke the old 9X payphone signs. Who saw those? Now, there's a funny story about those. because there we were. We had internally sort of we had seen the HopeX 9X connection, and so I had done a HopeX logo based on the old 9X logo. I'm looking at that on my screen wondering, okay, what can we do with this vis-a-vis signage? And then we got tweeted by someone called Squelch Tone. Squelch Tone, are you here? If you're here, stand up. Oh, that is sad. But if Squelch Tone were here, I would be thanking him, and so I'm going to thank him anyway, because he sent us a Photoshopped mock-up of a payphone sign, much like the one that you see. And so I saw that. Then I looked up at the actual 9X payphone sign that hangs above my workstation and thought, okay, I should have thought of this, but it's awesome. So so I have to thank Squelch Tone for that. I have to thank everyone who contributed to the other artwork around here. Winnie, Freddie, McFly, Kyle, Lindsay helped me with the HopeX logo. Tech Darko for getting the signs printed up in time at 0 hour. I'd like to thank Alicia Neal, who did the portrait of Chelsea Manning that you could see on her website, which is based on how Chelsea sees herself, and unfortunately not how she's allowed to appear yet. But I based my illustration of Chelsea on the signs on Alicia's portrait. I'd like to thank everyone who used blue tape to hang their own posters and signs around the conference. And to those of you who didn't use blue tape, seriously, fuck you guys. I have to thank Chaos and the lighting team who, with me passing them a USB drive in the middle of Thursday during setup, in no time got the artwork added to other stuff, the lighting, the things we were projecting outside. So they are an awesome crowd. I'd like to thank the volunteers who helped me Thursday night cut signs out with scissors, like a second grade arts and crafts project. and who were great company besides. I'd like to thank my partner Gus for all her love and support while I was a really shitty to be with terrible artist. Likewise. I have to thank her and Eyeball for being early eyeballs on my work before everything was printed. Got to thank my soul sister Gray Frequency in the crowd, and I got to thank all of you because this is amazing, and it's amazing because of you. I said earlier when I was emceeing, if you all weren't here, we would look very silly up here just talking to nobody. Thank you all.
Hello, I'm Aesthetix, and this year I handled a lot of the press stuff. Is there any press in the room right now, by the way? Okay, I see a few hands. Great. And thanks you all for being here. Just so you know, Hope has gone through a really interesting transformation over the past few years. I think last year when I inherited the press stuff from Cheshire, who he's kind of a mentor, and I still go to you for advice, honestly. But things have been really ramping up. This year, I'll just say it bluntly, we had more press requests this year than all previous Hopes combined. So, and regarding press, one of the things we always struggle with is getting press for the conference before the conference. Hint, hint to journalists that are in the room. I specifically want to thank Andy Greenberg from Wired. I think there were two or three stories on the front page of Wired in maybe the month before the conference, and it was great to get that kind of exposure to our speakers and such. And yes, Fox News did in fact come to the conference, which blew me away. So this year we actually had a press team, which I don't think Hope has ever had before, and the people involved in it, Bernie, who's right over here, who helped me when I was like under tons of load, thank you so much for that. I also want to extend a thanks to Naomi and Andy, who were huge, huge helps. They set up the interview station down. If any of the press went and conducted interviews down in the press area on second, we've never had an interview station like that before, as far as I'm aware. And that came in handy with Thomas Drake and Daniel Ellsberg, which we interviewed Daniel Ellsberg at Hope. That's amazing. And the last thing I want to say, I'm guessing most people didn't see this because this was something we created for the press. Naomi and I created a press kit, which is something I don't think Hope has ever had before, and it took a lot of work, and I really want to thank Naomi for all the hours that she put into that, and it seemed to come in handy. Because a lot of the press, I think, may be new to this, and they didn't know that 2600 is 30 years old this year. So, yeah, it was absolutely amazing and mind-blowing, and hopefully we'll break all these records next time.
the mic up.
This one? Oh, hello. Yeah, I've helped with a few things. This Hope. First of all, T-shirts and badges were the result of a group effort. I want to give, a shout out to Winnie, who's an amazing graphic artist and wonderful human being in Germany, helping us across the great waters. And, and Bernie and other people here have helped with the badges and making the T-shirts happen. So thanks to everyone for that.
Nice badges, yes.
Yeah, and by the way, the plastic on the back, you can use these as an iron-on, so just so you know. So one of my main things, though, is doing workshops and projects along with Bernie S., and we had 24 workshops and several projects that were floating around on the sixth floor and the mezzanine, and a lot of very diverse, interesting things happening there. Thanks to everyone who came to learn to solder at HopeX. That chalks up, I think, another 250 people that I've taught to solder, and out of 45,000, though. So. This community is just one of the best communities. It's a huge part of my life. I look forward to this all the time. It changed my life when I went to my first hacker conference, which was Hope 6. And, back then I was working on TV Be Gone, and it changed my life also in amazingly positive ways. But that was very much a project with just me and a few friends, which are great. But opening that up to a whole world of wonderful people who are curious that I could share my project with, and from sharing that, learning from so many different people, amazing people who are sharing their projects with me, it inspired me to do so many different things that would not have been possible. And that's the magic of our community. It really is magic. I had no idea that I would go on to start a hackerspace. What the hell was a hackerspace in 2006 to me? And then it turned out to be an example, along with some others and many in Germany who inspired me, to have a world full of hackerspaces. And there's over 1,600 of these things listed on hackerspaces.org now. And all this happened because of inspiration from here in 2006. And the name of this conference is Hope. Hackers on Planet Earth is one of the few things that actually gives me some hope for our planet that sorely needs it. So I'm just way looking forward to what all of you are inspired to do in your future. We don't have any control over what happens from it, but while we're alive, let's do the best we can and make way cool things happen. So, and also, thanks for taking and using and enjoying the trip glasses if you did enjoy them. And we have, I don't know how many left, but if you want to take a lot, take as many as you like. Unfortunately, someone stole all of these coin cell batteries that I brought over, one for each.
What kind of battery is it?
It's a CR2032. It's a coin cell battery. The same ones in... They have them at Duane Reade and Walgreens and Radio Shack, and they're not very expensive. They're in all motherboards. Please take as many trip glasses home with you as you like. It would be much easier than for us to pack them up and take them somewhere else. So I think that's all I have to say. So thank you, everyone.
And Mitch donated those 4,500 trip glasses. They were taking up space in a warehouse in New Jersey, and we're like, Mitch, you want to get rid of these things? No, seriously, they were a great door prize. First time we ever had like a really cool door prize for everybody at Hope. So thank you. And there's no more storage fees for them too, so you got rid of that. There are two people I neglected to thank on my movie team. Finn Brunton and Farisa Ahmed were really helpful. Hundreds of emails went back and forth with these movie TV people who were like really hard to deal with, all the drama. But
We got it done. We got a movie lineup, TV lineup. It was great. And one thing I also didn't mention is the vendors. We had a full vendor area. It's the first time at Hope we had a really good selection of vendors that filled all the tables. And I just want to mention them. We had No Starch Press with three tables, great selection of books. Bill Pollack and his crew, his family, his son Josh, who is 16, who won the crypto challenge here. Great kid. He's been coming since he's like knee high. Project Skyhook, the people with the Bitcoin ATM. I thought you hoped you could check that out. Of course, 2600 with the Club Monte sales, Sparkle Labs, Think Penguin, Hackaday, The Daily Dot, White Hat Security, Hacker Stickers, Black Phone, the secure phone people, John Jay College of Criminal Justice, Pymeos, Or Books, really had some good publishing books there. The Freedom of the Press Foundation, co-founded by Daniel Ellsberg. The Electronic Frontier Foundation was there with a lot of staff members. It was great. The ACLU, defending Ed Snowden. OWASP, the security group. GoTenna, the Free Software Foundation. Restore the Fourth Amendment. Security Snobs. Blinky Tape, that cool, great stuff, the Blinky Tape. All these vendors really make Hope happen because they pay for the table, but that helps pay for the bandwidth and all the other things we got to pay for. Yeah, I mentioned EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation. I mean, defenders of all our rights. All of these nonprofits that we donated these tables to, we want you to support them. I hope you did at their tables, but they are really looking out for our interests. And if they didn't do it, there wouldn't be a lot of people who did that. So thank you.
Hey, everyone. My name's Greg. I've been trying to be ubiquitous at this event. I hope I've succeeded partway. I'm still working on time travel and elevator handling. Great elevator hacking talk today. So I really want to thank the speakers. The speakers have been fantastic. And the message there... Just amazing, and I've been one of the sort of speaker selection committees that we have. And the message I want to give, in addition to how fantastic they were, is how fantastic you could be. So submit a talk next time, or if you submitted one this time, submit again. If you gave a talk, give it to the next generation. If you are thinking of something, well, that's how you get involved, right? Just step up with your creativity, with your ideas, and become part of it. That's how we all got involved on the stage. We showed up one day, and before we knew it, they were friends. Before we knew it, someone was getting us to volunteer. Before we knew it, we were in charge. And that's...
You wonder what happened and where you went wrong.
That's the way it goes. That is the way it goes. The fourth track actually was a great way of doing that. So the fourth track is the U track, and we've been doing that here at Hope for a number of years. And this is where you can show up and just test drive an idea. This is, the lightning talks, exactly. The lightning talks as well. And thanks to Mo for running those if he's out here somewhere. Fantastic. I can even, you want to interject?
I just wanted to say, this guy! Seriously, this conference has unsung heroes. Greg Newby is our grown-up, possibly our only designated grown-up this year. He is an incredible voice of sanity behind the scenes on the core list and on the speaker committee. And when Greg Newby finally comes in, because he's been very, very busy, he moved all the way across the world this year. And he's still talking to us somehow, despite the fact there's all kinds of things going on in his life. And he basically, when he comes in, everything will be fixed and it will be okay. So thank you, Greg, so much for everything. Just saying.
Well, I'll tell the story of Mo anyway. But thank you so much. And this is its own reward. That's what's so cool about this. This work that we do is its own reward. It's just very, very fulfilling. We've had such nice conversations. So Mo shows up with an email. He sent it to the projects list, I think to one other list. So there's this guy. Literally 2 weeks ago. He says, you know, are you doing lightning talks? And the answer is, are you interested in lightning talks? He was. So within about 2 weeks, we had a few emails. Mitch and Bernie and I emailed, tutored, set up a wiki page, password protected it, set up a submission procedure, invented a new submission procedure, and we had a couple days of fantastic lightning talks. next time this could be you that comes forward and says, I have this idea. What about this? What about that? And suddenly you might find yourself doing a little project, and that's a bigger project, and then it becomes the thing that everyone's talking about. So I want to invite you to be part of the next event and step up in that way. So thanks everyone. It's a fantastic experience.
Okay. I just have one announcement to make. First, I just want to say one thing. This is my first year on core staff, so I just want to take the opportunity to let you guys know, I did not realize how hard core staff works. So I want you all to just give a big round of applause to all these folks who've been doing it for years, and they don't get paid. They work their asses off throughout the entire conference and for free, just because they love it and they want to make it happen. So seriously, just one more time for every one of these people, for everything they do to make this concert happen, the conference happen. Two quick announcements. One is, you know, stay involved. There's the IRC, irc.2600.net. There's a Hope channel. There's other channels. You know, the community doesn't just go away when this conference ends. So stay involved. There's email lists. If you have ideas, suggestions, we're doing feedback at hope.net, right?
Yes.
Feedback at hope.net. If you have any suggestions, thoughts, things you want to send on to us. One last thing is on your way out, the DVD sales tables are still there. If there's any talks that you thought were really awesome that you want to have a copy of, or you want to be you missed a talk and want to be able to watch it, you can go by there, buy the DVDs on your way out. They're also not paid. They come in and do all the archive, the DVD for us, and then give it to 2600 for no charge. So please take care of them and grab it from them too. And then lastly, thanks to all you guys for showing up, and particularly since they're trying to pull the chairs out from under you, staying while we keep talking. And hope to see you guys in 2 years.
Hello, can I get the mic up one moment, please? If you find a good hyperlink, a web page about the conference, please send that link to Cheshire@2600.com. I'm going to put together another post-Hope page again, so that we'll have references to articles about the conference. Thank you.
Let me mention shirts. There are, for those of you that are lusting after the volunteer T-shirts, which are so beautiful, volunteer help to clean up right now, especially down in the pavilion. Just head right down to the pavilion or stay up here, but volunteer help, and we got some T-shirts for everybody.
And folks, as you stand up and walk out, if you could, just grab a chair, bring it back, and help stack it, and then we can get out of here 10 times faster.
See you in two.